Welcome to Truth Be Told, and thank you for taking the time to feed your spiritual man with the life-giving truth of God's holy word. As you may already know, this is a new outreach of Hand of Felt Ministries, and it is our humble honor to be able to bring the word of God to you this day. Now, before we get into the message for today, there is something that I wanted to ask of you. No, it's not to pull out your checkbook, it's not to write the biggest check you can, it's not to make a love offering. It's something more practical. You see, my desire for this outreach is that it be as much as it can an interactive experience. And so if you have any topics that you would like to see discussed on Truth Be Told, or any questions that you would like us to attempt to answer biblically, please shoot us an email, and although I'm not promising that I will cover every topic, I will do my utmost to respect your requests in a timely manner, as well as answer everything as truthfully and honestly and biblically as I possibly can. I am a firm believer that the Word of God must have the final say in our teaching, in our doctrine, as well as in our way of life. Well, if you've ever been in a church service at regular intervals, chances are you have at one point in your church-going life either sung or heard the beloved song, "There is Power in the Blood." Now, this is a song that was written by a man named Lewis E. Jones in 1949. So as far as hymns go, it is a fairly young one compared to Amazing Grace, but it is still sung, and it is still beautiful, and yes, there is power. There is wonder-working power in the blood of Christ. There is power in the blood of the Lamb, in the blood of the one that was slain for our sins, in the blood of the one who hung on a cross on Calvary, that we might be reconciled unto God. There is power. But oftentimes that one word does not adequately encompass all that the blood of Jesus does for us and in us. And so today, in the time that we have together, I want to discuss the blood of Christ. I also want to discuss all its many benefits and all its many attributes. Now, you may be asking yourself, why, with all the things happening in the world, would I pick a topic like the blood of Jesus to talk about today? With all the uncertainty and the unshakable feeling that something big and ugly and destructive and beyond our imagination is just around the corner, would I choose now to talk about this? Well, to be frank, because the blood of Jesus matters more than current events. And if anyone who has as yet not appropriated the blood of Christ and has not as yet received him as Lord and Savior of their lives hears this and repents and turns to him, then that one soul will have mattered more than all the end time teaching I've ever taught put together. You see, time is running out, and now is the time to speak on these things more than ever before. Now is the time to talk about Christ. Now is the time to talk about the blood of Christ. Now is the time to talk about grace. Now is the time to talk about faith. Now is the time to talk about the power of God, because time is running out. We all know what's coming. It has been foretold for many years, and now we're seeing it on the horizon. And some people don't know how to react, but those that prepared spiritually are at peace. They remain in the will of God. They remain in the obedience of God. And that's a good place to be. As I said, we know what's coming. God has not been silent on the matter. We see the pieces being moved upon the chessboard, and we see prophecies from 10, 15, and 20 years ago beginning to come to pass. The more important thing, however, is what ought we to do? What ought we to know? How ought we to be in light of this knowledge and revelation. You see, knowing future events in and of themselves profit nothing if we do not take steps to make certain that we are walking in God's will, that we have repented of all that we need to repent, and that we have appropriated the fullness of the blood of Christ, that it has washed us, that it has made us clean, that it has bestowed upon us forgiveness and peace, salvation and atonement. So what are the attributes of the blood of Jesus? What are the benefits of the blood of Jesus for the believer? First and foremost, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says it this way, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." So let's break this verse down, that we may understand the deeper truth that we discovered therein. If we walk in the light. You see, there is a conditionality to having our sins cleansed. There is a conditionality to being forgiven, and that is to walk in the light as he, meaning God, is in the light. If we walk in the darkness, well, then we are not cleansed. If we walk in the darkness, then we have no fellowship with one another, because light and darkness have no relationship, tangential or otherwise. You see, our having our sins cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ is conditional upon us walking in the light. For if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son, cleanses us from all sin. Another reason the blood of Christ is of paramount importance is that it provides remission of sins for all who believe in him and walk in the light. Properly defined within the context of Scripture, remission of sins is the disappearance both of the signs and the symptoms of sin. The signs and symptoms of sin must disappear from the life of the believer, not merely lessened or channeled to yet another sin, but disappear altogether. We are made new. We are new creatures and new creations in him. We receive a new mind and a new heart and new desires that are contrary to our old nature. We must understand what the Bible makes very clear, that without the shedding of blood, without Christ having gone to the cross, there could be no remission of sins. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 22 says this, "And according to the law, almost all things are purged with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission." The blood of Christ also protects us from the wrath of God. When the last of the plagues was about to descend upon Egypt, and the firstborns of every house were to be struck down in the land of Egypt, God's people were given specific instruction as to how they could cause the destroyer to pass over them and leave them and their households unharmed. Exodus 12, verse 13. "Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." This was God speaking to his people, informing them and telling them what they must do in order to remain unharmed, in order to remain under his protection. When the blood of Christ is on the doorposts of our hearts, God knows that we're his. We belong to him. And though he might judge the world around us, he will show grace and mercy to his own. You see, God is beginning to judge the world. But God is also making provision for his children. God is also preparing a place of safety and a place of refuge for his children. We are not Egypt. We are God's people, and we need to understand this and take strength from it so that we do not fear like the world fears. Now, not only does the blood of Jesus mark us and thereby protect us from the wrath of God being poured out, it is the one thing that the enemy is fearful of each and every time. There is nothing that the enemy fears more than the blood of Jesus. Jesus, by his sacrifice, conquered him on Calvary's hill, and the enemy knows the power of the blood. Sadly, the enemy knows the power of the blood in greater measure than many believers do. See, we focus on the irrelevant things, and we dismiss the important ones. Now, the blood of Christ also makes atonement for the soul. It is the blood that reconciles us unto God. It is the blood that atones for our sins, that pays our debt, that makes us acceptable in the sight of a righteous and holy God. Leviticus 17:11 says it this way, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." Huge verse. Huge implications. Because God knew that without the blood upon the altar we could not make atonement, he gave his son Jesus that we might make atonement for our souls. His righteousness demanded atonement. And God knew that the blood of rams and goats would never do. God knew that there was only one in the entire universe whose blood could make atonement for us. And that was the blood of Christ Jesus. It is due to Christ and the blood of Christ that we can be reconciled unto God, that all our sins are washed away, and that we are made clean. Romans 5, 9 and 10 says this, "Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." What a glorious thing. What a glorious thing to know that it is through Christ and his shed blood that we are reconciled and saved. It is by the blood of Christ that we have now been justified. It is through him that we shall be saved from wrath. Now, are we starting to understand the enormity of what Jesus did for us on Calvary? Is it becoming clear that absent his blood being shed, we would still be in rebellion and enemies of a holy God? Yes, by his blood, we are now justified. Through him, we are saved from wrath. And it is in this hope that we glory and we rejoice. Colossians 1:19 through 21 says it a little differently, but it's the same message. "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. Now, if this passage ended here, it would all be well and good, and the indifferent and apathetic run-of-the-mill Christian could rest on his laurels and do as he pleases, live as he likes, and just point to this passage and say, "Well, we made peace through the blood of his cross. We are now reconciled unto God, praise Jesus, that's it, we're all good." Yet, this passage continues, and once again we see that dreaded if. "If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard. You see, Christ's desire is to present us holy and blameless and irreproachable in God's sight. The blood of Jesus has provided the means by which this can happen. But we must continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast. That is our part. That is our duty. Jesus has already done everything. Yes, he has done more than we can ever comprehend to ensure that we are presented holy and blameless before God. But there are certain things, dear friends, that we must do for ourselves. Yes, it is you, it is I, it is we who must continue in the faith. It is we who must be grounded. It is we who must be steadfast. It is we who must not be moved away from the hope of the gospel which we have heard. These things are incumbent upon us. Christ did what we could never do. He provided the atonement for our sins, the reconciliation with the Father, the forgiveness and remission, but we too must do our part. That one glorious day, not far from now, we will stand before him and be welcomed into his eternal kingdom. That is why the blood of Jesus is worth talking about. That is why it is so important, and that is why we must know all the attributes of the blood of Christ in our lives. Until next time, love the truth, live the truth, speak the truth, and spread the truth. God bless you.